The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Why, hello there. Have you needed a welder? Have you looked at buying a welder? No need. So here's your chance to win one. Rose Metalworks and Eastwood Tools have decided to sponsor the next giveaway item for the Drop with Frank and Brian podcast. Their next giveaway item is going to be a MIG 140 welder from Eastwood Tools. All you have to do is go to livelifecustom.com or grindertv.com, spend at least $5, and it's going to get you at least one entry for the MIG 140. I want to thank Frank and Brian for wanting to team up for this giveaway, and I also want to thank Eastwood Tools for supporting our cause. Thank you for helping the truck scene, and thank you for supporting all our small businesses. So if you guys want a chance at a MIG 140 Eastwood welder, make sure you spend at least $5 at both their websites. Who knows? You might be able to finally finish your project. See you guys.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
What are you,
cold? It's chilly here.
I'm jealous.
If we're like the past 2 days, it's been chilly. I walked out of the house yesterday morning. I'm like, ooh. Oh, is that you, Fall? Fall, is that you?
Is that the sweater weather?
I know, last night I
had the windows in the house open for the first time.
Nice. It's cooling off. Well, next week it's supposed to be back in the 90s. So.
I know. It's like a little tease, like a little teaser.
Oh, every dang year, it's like, here's a brutal summer, little taste of fall. Oh, pumpkin spice lattes. Nope, just kidding.
Yeah.
And then, so here in the desert, it's like different. I don't know if it's the same in your desert, but like, it's like, it does that brutally hot, like nice little fall. And then all of a sudden it'll just be freezing cold.
Yeah.
Like there's no easing. There's no adjustment. There's no, like I said, like pumpkin spice lattes.
We just came off of our first day yesterday of, it was the first day since early May that it was under 100 degrees.
I heard that. So that means it has hit 100, at least
every
100
day.
Every day since that day in May.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it hit over 110 for a lot of those days.
Damn.
We had more over 110 days and more over 100, and then it hit 115 a bunch of times. Yeah, but now it's like at least, like when the sun goes down, now it's starting to like cool down a little bit. Like I was out working on the Titan yesterday.
Oh, doing Titan stuff, huh?
Yeah, I'm replacing the door strikers.
Oh, okay. Because it's a little.
Yeah. So when if it's on a hill, the doors won't stay open. Yeah. And I am going to drive it down to tray 5 after this and weld up a spot weld on the back.
You found it.
Yeah. So I found it. It's like this little damn rattle.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would like have my knee against the door, it would rattle. If I let my knee off, it wouldn't rattle. And so I found it and I put some super glue on this spot weld and that didn't work. So I'm going to go and weld it up after this.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Taking care of the old tit.
Yeah. We're taking it to Texas this week.
Oh, you're taking that to Texas. You're not taking Morgan's truck.
No. When I reached out to Joe, I said, hey, do you want to go to
Waxahachie,
C10s in the park? And mm-hmm. he's like, yeah. I was like, well, we could take my truck. We don't have to take your guys's. And he's like, okay.
Then, didn't even hesitate. He's like, sure.
Yep. So I was like, as long as Morgan's good sitting in the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about that once before.
Yeah.
Now I remember. Yeah. Hey, man, that old girl will get you anywhere you need to go.
Yeah.
With no problems.
None.
Good luck.
Just some fuel.
Just some fuel. No, that's cool. Yeah, so you're gearing up for that. So I was corrected because I remember I was telling you that there's a small C10, not a small C10 show, but there is another local Southern California C10 show.
C10's in the ranch.
Ranch. It's yeah. C10's at the ranch. Yeah.
I knew when you were saying that it wasn't C10's in the park.
Because you're going to C10's in the park.
Yeah, because they wouldn't, not in the C10, like no one's going to name it the same name.
Right.
But I had no idea, so.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, someone corrected me on that. That is the weekend before our show, so I'll probably like peel out, go over there, check it out. But yeah, I'm headed to hopefully the council run this weekend. So this episode comes out, everything's already done. So wait a week to hear how it was,
how our trips were
a week from now.
Yeah, my long trip and your short trip.
Short 6 miles. It is six miles from my door to where the show is hosted at. And I was wondering if the fires were going to affect anything, but I think that's all chilled out. I don't know. You know,
yeah,
we're not really affected by the fires. Everybody thinks California is on, like the entire state's on fire. It's not.
Just most of it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. One year, cause that, like we have fire season here, and especially like in my mountains, my local mountains, it's always on fire and in the pass and stuff. And one year it was, like really like it had burned up to the where this park is, and I remember going and seeing all the red stuff all over the ground around the park, but they still threw the show, still a great time. I think that's when my cooler got stolen. I don't know.
Was it
when Yoda stole my cooler?
When Yoda stole the cooler, yeah.
And 5 years, no, more than that, geez, many years later, come to find out that he was the culprit.
He hit me up about Sparks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cool. Because they're all leaving from Vegas at a certain time. So I was cool. Hopefully we can go at the same time.
Yeah, meet up or something. Meet up on the road. Or that'd be cool.
Yeah.
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 Mm.
Anyway, so you mentioned we have a lot to talk about.
I was a little confused
because I don't have much to talk about. So the floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much.
I mean, I do. I have stuff to talk about, but.
Well, no, for the very, very first thing I want to talk about is Sean Rose, who has graciously helped us out on this next giveaway with the welder with Eastwood. He wants it to be known that he is ready. He talked to Eastwood. Everything's worked out to do these bead rolling classes.
Yeah.
So he's going to be traveling the country doing these bead rolling classes sponsored by Eastwood, which he works closely with. And so he just wanted us to put the word out there that these things are happening. And also he's looking for schools, programs, like any kind of organization that deals in that world to like set up these classes or like, you know, work with him to set up these classes.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you guys are out there and you're affiliated with any sort of high school or community college or anything, reach out to Sean Rose, Rose Metalworks, and hit him up because it'd be really cool. We should forward that information to Eric.
Yeah, I said that before, like when we first started talking to Sean and stuff about it, like Eric and Angelina, or Eric specifically, because Angelina's more
mechanical,
but Eric is the body man. So I think they would work really great together if he ever makes it out this far. Because right now, I mean, he's done a few, but it's been mostly East Coast, you know, that kind of like, I don't know how far west he's came, but it'd be really cool to get him all the way out here, and then we could have him on the podcast.
Yeah, see.
See, Sean,
then we don't have to go out there.
We don't have to try. We would like you to come all the way out here.
If anyone else would like to travel to us, we will put you up at the finest Motel 6.
The finest 1973 Airstream trailer you have ever seen.
It depends on the level of guest.
That's
so if
true.
If you're at a Motel 6, we really didn't want you on. But if you're at like the Holiday Inn, then we really wanted you on.
Oh, wow. So then now when that happens...
Just kidding. Everyone's at the Motel 6.
Yeah, that's all we can afford. Like I said, and it may be the Airstream.
Oh, no, we're not paying for it. We're just going to make the reservation for you.
Hey, by the way, you need to pay for that. Thanks for being on the show. Here's a hat.
The finest Motel 6 in Victorville.
Yes. So I just want to really start off with that. But other than that, I wanted to talk about this. I got this in the mail. You got yours.
I got two things in the mail, so we'll start off with this.
Okay, so we have the new Mini Truckin' Magazine issue number 2 of Mini Truckin' Magazine part 2.
Now first of all, doesn't it feel much better than the first one?
I am so much happier with this,
and doesn't I wanted it, yeah
I'm so much happier with this one. And I want to start, actually, even before we dive into the actual magazine, I want to start with this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This, what I'm holding for our audio, for our audio listeners, I'm holding the package it came in, because before it just came in a clear plastic bag, and which I know that it was already, the issue was with the production of it, the stapling and stuff, but it didn't really help that it was in, you know, those bags, and they were folding up and shoving them into mailboxes and stuff.
Yeah.
And also what was really cool about this one is I got a tracking number. So, yeah. You know, I got an email saying, hey, look, your magazine shipped. It'll be to you here. Because, you know, that was a huge thing, that everybody not getting theirs and wondering where they were. Or...
There is a caveat to that, is I kind of like not knowing. I kind of like just, I like getting to the mailbox and it being a surprise.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a thing.
You know,
that's
so how maybe, the first maybe one. If Logan listens to this, which nobody listens to this, right?
No.
Just Ben.
And Bacon.
Just Ben and Bacon. Ben and Bacon. Ben Bacon.
And when Bacon doesn't comment, everybody's like, is Bacon okay?
Well, the last one, I saw the comment. So our buddy Jeff Sunset, he was like, where's Bacon at?
Yeah,
and, but Bacon had commented on the original video, which we had to re-upload because I screwed it up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So Bacon actually did comment, but.
Oh, but Jeff didn't see it.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, so I have a suggestion. Don't give the tracking numbers to the ones that go out for the first 2 weeks. After you ship the first 2 weeks, then do tracking numbers so we can all be happy and surprised.
So, yeah, so it'll fulfill both things.
It's not going to, it's a dumb thing, but.
I just thought it was really cool, you know, just because, like, everybody was, like, not everybody, but there were many people who were wondering what was happening, you know, so that was really, that was cool for me. I like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so now actually diving into the actual thing. First of all, yeah, is the perfect bound so much better? It feels so much better in the hand. You can it feels better thumbing through it.
Yeah.
It's a lot nicer. I don't know. I'm going to say this and adjust a little bit, but these features are really good. I don't know if they were the same before, but something about going thumbing through this one, looking at these features is really nice. These features are really nice. The pink truck from Japan, the pink Tacoma. Yep. The photography is really good. That's our buddy Taro did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good. All the features are killer. Yeah, I'm really happy with this one.
Yeah. And the guy from Australia, Redemption Media, he did that other pink truck one. That's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he does really good work. And then the orange truck, Damian Davis shot that. It looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yeah. It just feels like it feels better.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels really nice. Did it have the same kind of like satiny matte finish on the last issue? Which I could answer my own question, but I actually don't know where I put the other one.
I know. I see mine right now, but it's underneath the thing over here.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is like a aqueous, I think is what they call it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because there's gloss, and I can't remember the term, but I want to say
it. It's really nice. Everything's really good. One critique. I have a critique.
I have many critiques, but I can't say them because that'll make people mad.
Well, I can say, I'm going to say like constructive critiques. Like,
yeah.
You know, they only did it one time, but don't put ads in the features.
And here's the one I can say.
Okay.
The show calendar.
Oh,
it's unreadable. Editorial. You can't read it. It's unreadable. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be. And I made this mistake with Grindr Magazine. So the issue that I did, the last issue of Grindr Magazine, I tried to get fancy because it was when I put it together myself.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get fancy with a lot of the text and a lot of the this. And what ends up happening is you can't read a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
You know, it's too small and stuff. So yeah, I would just say, yeah, for the readers, even me with not the greatest eyes, with my glasses on, like the other text looks really good on the shows and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but just that text, I was like trying to like look at shows and I'm like, I can't read what this says.
No, yeah, no, I definitely agree to that. And, you know, like, but I get it. Like sometimes you kind of get, you know what, we talked about this before, like kind of like getting creative just for the sake of being creative.
Yeah.
You know? Like that, that font and that stuff, putting the show logo behind the text. Like, I get it. It's cool. Like, I get it, but it does make it a little more difficult to navigate.
Or when you do that, you can just take the saturation down.
Oh, and just make it more dull.
Make it more dull. Make it really opaque, you know, like, but yeah, I'm super stoked with it.
Me too. I'm really happy.
It feels really high end.
So how many issues? So, you know, you sign up, you pay for your subscription. It's $25. How many issues do you get? You get 3 issues?
You get 3 for the first year. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what their plans are moving forward, but I'm assuming it's going to be more frequent.
Yeah.
I don't know. But honestly, 3 for $25, that's a deal for 3 of these.
That's actually really cheap.
It's really cheap.
These things should be costing like $15 a piece.
I would say, about 10, probably $10 and then a little bit of shipping on top of that, but it's a good deal. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. So hopefully they keep rolling forward. Hopefully they keep, you know, producing nice stuff and learning from their mistakes. I mean, to pulling a magazine out of nothing is a tremendous feat. So
yeah,
hopefully they get it all taken care of.
It sounds like they have. Mm-hmm. And then I got 2 other things in the mail today. So there's a guy that goes by the name of Kevin Whips. And I don't know if you've heard that name before.
I have not, no.
So he's been around the magazine industry for a long time. I don't think I've ever met when he reached out to me, I was like, we've never met, which is odd because we both live in Arizona, and we're both kind of in the industry, and we might have met. I have no idea, but he wrote books,
like actual books. Oh, okay. How to install air ride suspension systems. Oh, neat.
Yeah, and then this one.
How to restore your Chevy truck. Awesome.
Yeah, so he worked with this publishing company, and he just sent me these, and I wanted to show everybody what they were because they're super useful. And he'll be a future guest. I just told him that when we do guest episodes, we like to do them in person.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so the next time Frank comes out, we'll put him on the calendar.
And he's local in Arizona, so that's cool.
He's local in Arizona, yeah. So they're almost like those old Haynes manuals, but full color.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... How to, and it's like, I'll put a link in maybe on the screen here or something like that of how to buy these.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're really like the air suspension one will answer a lot of like questions that you might not think about.
So how does that compare to like Max Fish's book, the suspension book? Because his is very technical, very mathematical. Is this more just like if you buy these parts, this is how to install them? Or does it get into that type of stuff as well?
I don't know if it gets into the geometry of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more the air ride suspension system, the compressors, the valves, the tanks. So it's not necessarily like how to maybe.
Which is like the other side of that, because Max's book tells you exactly how it should work. But
Max's tells you how the math to it, the geometry. And this tells you, like the other side, like after you get the geometry and everything down.
Right. How do you put these compressors in? How do you wire this thing? That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool, actually.
Which is really important because compressors can kill your electrical system.
I didn't realize until freaking years into it about relays, adding relays to the compressors.
Yeah,
I take those shits and just put it right onto the battery.
Yeah, and grounds, like when you're using any sort of like AccuAir level ride or airlift, a lot of times those systems, your factory alternators aren't strong enough to run some of those things.
I found that out with the 4Runner.
Yep. So
that's cool. So how long has he been working on this? Is this like been a long project or
don't know?
Because you actually like you really don't like know him. Know him?
I don't.
Yeah.
He's the one that does the Switch Suspension newsletter too.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's cool. So he writes all that out. Yeah.
Puts all that together. Does photography. Does writes articles.
That's
so
cool. Was he part of a club or something? Or
no? I have no idea.
Interesting. Wow. That'll be a cool conversation with that person.
It will be. Yeah. I'll send you his Instagram so you can kind of deep dive.
Snoop around and figure out what's going on. But yeah, so picking up from last week, I was putting together that teaser today, and then I realized that we didn't get into this part of it because in the teaser I had said that we're going to talk about truck stuff, and then you're going to tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah.
We never got to that part. But here we are. I want to get to that part. And specifically, I want to start that conversation with we do our scrolling and we do our checking out. And we see things all over the internet and something caught my eye. It's this person. I didn't write down the whole thing right now.
It's Christy, right?
Christy. Yeah. What's her TikTok?
I have no idea.
Okay. I wrote it down here. Never mind. I deleted it.
You deleted it off of your
notepad? Because I had my old notes, and it was part of my old notes, and I deleted it. But anyway.
How do you... Did you erase it?
Yeah, I have it saved. Just give me 1 second here. Sorry. Should have been more prepared. Anyway, so I'm scrolling around, looking, and here it is. So it's Batshit Chrissy on TikTok. She's an XL member out of Phoenix. Yeah. She's got a full-size OBS truck standard cab. And what caught my eye is she had this mod where the whole, like, the door looks like it's shaved. Like, there's no door lines or anything like that. Yeah. What it is the actual door wraps around the B-pillar. And as it closes, it gives it, like, this seamless look, which is a really cool mod. But that kind of, like sparked something in my brain about, remember, we just talked about a couple seconds about being creative just to be creative. You know, like mods like that, like shaving the entire door. I remember like mid-ish 2000s where people were shaving the extra cab windows out of trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? So like, yeah. And so that mods like that, mods for the sake of being mods. It's cool. Like it is one of those things, like it caught my eye. It stopped me scrolling to go like, hold on, what's happening here?
Yeah, yeah. When you sent me that, I was like, oh, that's a great idea, but it just makes it look weird. And I don't know if it makes it look weird just because you're used to seeing a door line there,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't see a door line there. So I was like kind of thrown off by it, but yeah, mods like that are, I think they're super ballsy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? And they're really good to do. Cause you're never going to know unless you do something like that. Mm-hmm. Like you could sit there and wonder, hey, I wonder what this would do. And then you do it. And then you go, oh yeah, I like it, or no, I don't like it.
That's the thing, that the question that I asked is like, going through all that, what about if you went through all that work and you were like, man, I don't know. Like it's a yeah. gamble. It's a gamble.
It here's the flip side of this, of gambling nowadays with mods, is value.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and this is why that we always talk about like the difference between like C10 trucks and mini trucks. And where mini trucks you can take more gambles than you do with a C10 truck because
yes, they're not really worth anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they are now starting to become worth things. And like her truck is an OBS, which is
worth something.
It's worth something. But you know, it's so you have to kind of I think about those things, just because, you know, say you have a Tacoma and you just go too far with it, and then you get to a point where you're like, oh, I'm going to sell this and move on to my next project. But you have now messed up. Mm-hmm. You can't get out of it what you could have because you did go too far. So like when you're thinking of these mods, a lot of times we're just like, yeah, I'm just going to do it. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
That's
like the mini trucker attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want you to do it, and mm-hmm. everyone else wants you to do it. But just think like any big decision, you should wait 24 hours. Like, when mm-hmm. you buy a car or when you do anything, I think it should be that way with mods too. Like if you have this idea, if you're 20 years old, just do it.
you got plenty of time to figure it
out. Yeah. 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 But like, yeah, there's just certain things. Like I remember I ruined my 86 Toyota pickup.
Remember, because all the mods,
so much stuff on it, and ended up just going to pick apart mm-hmm. because there was no going back. You know, if you shave your doors, whatever, shave doors are they don't bring the value down of your vehicle, and you can get new doors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once you start messing with the cab, and yeah, you can get a new cab and stuff like that. But
mm-hmm.
what if you do that, paint it, and then you go to sell it? I mean, there's a lot of trucks out there right now that have been for sale for a long time. Or they, people take them to like Barrett Jackson.
Well, one that pops to mind is Frank's truck. Frank took a lot of risks on that gold C10.
Oh yeah. 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 You know? I mean, he ended up winning that deal.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and that was just a paint job, right? So that there
and
was
wheels, you know.
Yeah, but you could unbolt the wheels, put new wheels on,
repaint it, yeah,
and repaint it. And but when you start to cut the metal, like imagine if he did like chop the top,
a full tilt front end or something. I don't know,
something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mold the hood to the fenders, and you're just like, this is good. Your market goes down. Mm-hmm. And I know it's like we shouldn't think about selling the truck, you should just think about the enjoyment of it, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely just do it. Like, don't not do it, but just think about it.
Yeah, think about it and think about it. Well, I just think the thing that I'm thinking about the most, like we're kind of focusing on like the financial part of it, but the time, like mm-hmm. the time, like, are you willing to sacrifice all of this time for something that may or may not work, or be, I don't want to say cool, because cool, like, that's subjective. Like, we don't know what's cool. But just the time. Do you want to invest this time to possibly get to the other end and go like, I don't like it?
But again, it is just metal, and it can, and it's, you know what I mean? And it is really cool. And that's what makes our community unique, is taking chances. You know, so if you are willing to take the chance, do it, because it's good for the rest of us to see that.
Well, yeah, and it opens. I mean, the first dude to weld up his taillights and throw some like caddy lights in a truck was probably thinking the same thing. You know, they don't know. Or the or to go way, way back, there's this page that I've been really into lately. It's called 46 to 64. I don't know if you've seen that. It's this young dude out of L.A., and he is like hardcore documenting history, lowrider history, and not like the 80s, 90s lowrider history with 13s and big hydraulic lifts. It's called 46 to 64, because that's the timeline that he's working in. And he's doing deep dives into finding out, like, you know, the first guy to put hydraulics on a car, but then the first guy to open up a shop. And my point is like, even back then, those guys were like cutting up these cars. And actually, I came to a really interesting, like, kind of like thought the other day. So I follow this page. I'm watching, I'm following along, and the guy's like, okay, here's the so-and-so's, you know, 64 Impala in the 1968 lowrider show. And I didn't really realize at first, and then I realized, like, that car's 4 years old. They were essentially taking brand new cars and doing these things to them. You know, so like, not only are they like doing this unknown, putting hydraulics on cars, doing all this other stuff, but doing it to fairly new vehicles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that had to have been like some risk too. So they were sitting there thinking the same thing, like, am I going to invest all of this time into this basically brand new car to see if it looks cool or not? Oh, worked out. I mean, that's history, and those are some of the coolest cars ever made. It worked out really well. But someone like our you know, that person with that OBS was thinking the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that rolls me into my next thing. And this is, and it kind of, and it folds right into, and I've been thinking about this a lot, is that Deuce and a Half that Panda just finished.
Mm-hmm.
It's super cool. You were out there last week. Like, did you do a feature on it? What were you doing out there?
We did a little video feature and photos.
Okay. So the thing is super cool. I remember when we went to Panda's and seeing that thing kind of like in its progress stages. And, I thought, you know how I am. I'm going to be a bit bold here. Because when I first saw it, I thought like, oh, that's a neat idea. I don't know if this will ever come to fruition. Just because it's such a out of the box kind of like thinking idea. But it did. It got finished. But even then, like, it is really, really cool. But the thought that sticks in my head, and it's just like the conversation we had about mods, like, are you going to invest that much money and time into something that people are going to go like, oh, that's cool. And then just like, you know what I mean?
But that's the thing, right? You're not doing it for everybody else.
That's true.
So that guy that did that, is that was what he wanted to do.
That's Well, I mean, that's the ultimate thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so, and that community, that rat rod community,
Is that dude in the hot rod world? Like, in the, like,
he's in the like rat rod world.
Okay.
So like, he did that basically to take it to a show in Santan Valley. Like a rat rod
what's
show. This,
what's Santan Valley? I
don't know. It's just a small community in the East Valley. Like so, you know, we do things. We're like, we're going to take it to Mini Nats or Dino's. Mm-hmm. No, this dude did it to take it to this like local thing. Yeah.
And that's what fascinates me. Yeah. There's, I don't know the dollar amount, but I can imagine there's a lot sitting there.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot to create this thing. Because you, like you said, it's basically two Deuce and a Half military trucks grafted together to create this like four-door rat rod military-esque.
And it's so and it's got a Cummins diesel motor. It's got, it's set up to tow like a fifth wheel, because it with dually tires, like, it's
full size, like, semi tires.
That truck, he had to fold the mirrors in to pull it out of Panda's shop. Really? So imagine a full-size shop door, it doesn't fit through that. So it's one of those things where, like, I've edited videos for rat rod shows, so I've kind of seen what these guys do. And it's just a whole different world. You know, it's like they go out of their way to do weird stuff.
Well, in that case, I guess it fits. Because, like, I mean, look, we are existing in a different world. We obviously, we exist in our little mini truck world, but we are going to like these C10 shows. We're aware of like the hot rod world. And Yeah, it just like it just seemed. I really don't. You know me. You know very. You know very like worried when I say stuff. And I'm gonna say something, and I don't. And there's no malice behind it, but it almost seems like it's a lot of work for some for like almost like a novel. Oh, that's the right word. A novelty thing.
Yeah, but that's what your Forerunner is.
Yeah, that's true.
It your Forerunner sits in a garage.
Mm-hmm.
You barely drive it.
That's true.
And you put a ton of money into it.
That's true.
Right? Sure. It, like it doesn't go off road.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't tow.
Yeah.
And you don't drive it to faraway shows. You trailer it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's we're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I guess it's just like the other side of the fence kind of thing.
It is because we're like, oh, why'd you do that for that? But we did the same thing for this.
That's true.
Where it just. And I get what you're saying because you look at that thing and you're just like, it's like hodgepodge together almost. You're just like,
yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. But that's that entire, like, go look at some rat rods and you're just any sense.
Dude, when the rat rod thing was like humongous in the mid 2000s, everybody wanted a rat rod. And, you know, we've talked about this before where like it almost starts becoming a parody of itself. It was like one dude took a really cool patinaed car. Yeah. Made it a rat rod, and then someone saw a rusty thing, and then they found like a rusty thing, and then I've said this before, where the pinnacle of that is when I saw that thing with a spike, you know, when you start welding crap onto it. So, you know, and that's the thing about that deuce and a half truck thing. Like, it's not, yes, it's a novelty in what it is, but it's not a parody of itself. And a lot of those rat rods turned into parodies. How much junk can I find and weld onto this thing? How many tractor seats can I put in this thing to make it? You know what I mean? And nothing and against the people that do that, but that's like they know too. Like the people who are serious about rat rods and hot rodding and stuff like that, no, they have to know that some of those things are just like a
joke.
I didn't want to say joke.
Yeah, I mean, well, because like I would like to know.
Yes, that's what
it's funny because the owner of that after we were done shooting that, he helped me and Panda do my springs and new bags in the Maverick. So we mm-hmm. spent the whole day together, and I should have asked him. Now that we're talking about this, it's just like I wonder what his idea was, because a lot of times because it felt like he had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to graft these two trucks and make this big thing. Okay, now I'm going to make it a dually. Okay, now I'm going to do this. Okay, now I'm going to do this. And then once you get to that point, then at Panda's like, okay, well, we got to figure out how to make all this function.
Right.
You know, like.
And the time and effort and money that goes because into like, that.
That a lot of rat rods, when you look at the interior, there's just stuff welded to it. Like you said, there's just mm-hmm. like weird buttons. You look in that one, it's all sheet metal. There's cup holders in it. And like, and so it's like. And it can tow, like it's the dually tires, the bags, like it's not going to tow, but it's just like, why did you even put a fifth wheel hitch on it? A gooseneck hitch, like
really, like really quick side quest on that. It's really funny to me that I'm going to talk a little crap, like all like, you know, these guys are building these like brand new 3,500 dualies and stuff like that and doing all this crazy stuff and then putting a hitch on it. Like, you're not going to tow with that.
Yeah, but those guys probably will tow.
Some of them will. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of those guys will, but that, because that still functions.
Yeah.
That can still do 70, 80 miles an hour on the freeway. That can still tow the same amount of thing. It's the,
my point is like, I'll like put myself on blast a little bit. It's like when I built the Forerunner, like those guys are building those trucks. I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely going to tow a trailer. I want to hitch on it, even if it's for the option to tow a trailer. But then you realize it's just a big mini truck car that you're just kind of taking to shows. That's what where I put myself on blast is when I built the Forerunner, I'm like, this is going to be the family car. I could put the kids in it. I could do this. The kids have ridden in that thing maybe a couple dozen times over the years, you know? And then I realized like, no, and we talk about this too. Like when dudes are like, oh, I want to build this for my lady. It's going to be her car or like the you know, you don't have to disillusion yourself with those things. You could just say like, you know, this is a useless thing that I want to build.
Yeah.
And that goes right back to those dualies and that deuce hot rod.
It goes back to also is like hey,
I'm going to do this thing.
Or it goes back to, hey, my old lady wants to get in the club.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to build her a car.
Right.
And you're not even finished with yours yet.
Yeah.
And you're just like, why don't you? She doesn't actually want to be in the club.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of times, and I'm not going to put any specific person on blast, but I know guys in clubs. And then their wife got in the club. And then the guy gets out of the club.
And then you have an issue.
No, there's no issue because But the wife never said, I'm getting out of the club too. She just goes with the guy.
Oh, I see.
You see what I'm saying? And it's that, like, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, but so what is it? It's just like, so at being a club president, I always get this like, hey, my girlfriend or my wife wants to be in the club. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, she has to petition or do it the simple way. Right. And just, if you're married, like, okay, let's take you and Angie, for example.
Mm-hmm. That's a good example.
That forerunner is yours,
mm-hmm.
but it's also yours and Angie's.
Mm-hmm.
Angie can do anything you can in the club. Angie can
stop her.
There's nothing, no difference as if Angie was a member or if she's not a member.
Right.
The only difference is she's not going to like come into the club chat and voice her opinion about something.
Right.
She's going to tell you her mm-hmm. opinion about something. And then you're going to be like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then it will like it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it's all part of the decision making, too, about like going to events.
Yeah. Because early, when I was hanging around the club and we were just talking and you were kind of like laying down how it was. And you're like, you're fully aware of that. You told me, you're like, hey, look, I know that you like you're the member. You I remember the day you specifically told me that, like, you have to realize that you're the member. And she's not, but we do understand that that is influenced, and whatever decisions you're going to make are going to be influenced by her opinion and what she yeah. thinks of it too. And yeah. as long as you have that self-awareness, then cool, you know,
yeah.
like that works.
Yeah,
because
we don't ever want to say like someone's significant other is less of a part of the club.
Right.
You're just as because I can't just say, Frank, let's go do this, and you're just like, yeah, no problem. You are going to go, Angie. Me and Brian are going to go to the show. Like, what do you think? Everything's good. You're going to have to work it out with her. You can't just, we have to make these decisions with our significant other. So right. they're just as much part of the club as anything else. And other members need to respect that too.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there's some members that are single and I've seen it usually in the younger days. And I did this too. Like when I wasn't in a relationship, I'm like, who cares what your wife says?
Oh yeah.
Just mm-hmm. go do it. Like, don't, oh, you're whooped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're not understanding how this situation works here.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and then you realize it more as you get older and into your own relationships and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
And it's funny because the guys that always said, oh, you're whooped. Those are the guys that
ended up
getting a girlfriend and disappeared.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's always the way, too. Yeah. But yeah, to rein it back in on these, on what we're talking about is like, yeah, sometimes you just have to, and like I said in the beginning, when you say, let me explain to you why you're wrong. And you're right. I was looking at it through a lens of a little bit of, you know, questioning, but at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, this is the same reason I built the fort. You just have to say like, I just want to build this. I just want to do it. You know, yeah. as long as, hey, if you have the finances and the means to do it, then why not? Because now that dude has this really cool, you know.
Well, it's cool to him. It's cool, yeah, it's to, cool him. To him. I would never do anything like that. Ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I have no... I'll see a Lamborghini, a bag Lamborghini. I'm like, that's sick. Mm-hmm. If I had the money, I might get one. Like, if I was, like, rich, mm-hmm. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to get a Lamborghini. I'm going to bag it. Why? Well, because I can.
Mm-hmm.
If I was super rich, I would never go, I'm going to build that military thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever yeah. it is. I kept calling it a Jeep. I don't know why.
I mean, it is.
I equate military to Jeep, and Panda goes, don't call it a Jeep. He hates when people call it Jeep.
Really?
Well, what am I going to call it? It's just this thing that's made up of a bunch of other things.
Someone commented something and called it a Hummer, and you're like, no, it's not a Hummer either.
Yeah. It's a double deuce. That's what he calls it.
Oh, double deuce, because it's yeah. two deuce and a halves. You know, and then I have a funny little story about that, too. So, like, for a minute there, I was kind of like, bouncing around in like the off-road community out here, like the race trucks, the 14 class Toyotas and stuff. And there was a guy who had the same thing. So like this dude worked for Edison, and so like Edison has all these like big trucks and stuff like that. So they buy trucks from auctions. Well, this auction had Doosnaps. You can buy them relatively cheap. You can buy a running driving Doosnap for like $1,500 sometimes. Yeah. I think he paid maybe a little more than that. He actually ended up with two for some reason. But it
and
was
then
like,
he welded them together, put on a custom chassis.
Same guy.
Put
he moved to Arizona. Yeah. this guy I'm talking about, I actually haven't talked to this dude in over 10 years. So
yeah.
quite possibly. But anyway, but the thing was all these off-road dudes, you know, they're all about going through the desert and stuff.
Keep talking. I had to plug my computer in.
Okay. So this, I don't know if I could talk to the chair. So I'm going to have to wait because I can't talk to the chair. There we go. You can't hear me.
I keep talking like you're not, like I'm not going to. Okay. I don't even know what you said.
You don't know what I said? You're like.
No, because so I just needed to grab this plug and I was like, I'll just guess what he says.
You're all keep talking. And then
keep
I'm
talking
like,
to the audience.
I can't talk like, to I can't. A chair. I couldn't talk to a chair. Now I'm going to lose.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway, so these off-road dudes, so they're all, you know, going off-roady in the desert, doing all this stuff. So
it going was like, off-roady. That's so cute, guys.
I know.
That's just going cool. off-roady.
So this dude is like, I'm going to buy, like, he's like, hey, I'm going to buy this doosnap. And everybody's like, oh my God, that's so cool. That's the coolest idea ever. And he's like, they're hyping him up and he bought it. And he had to drive it from, I think, somewhere in LA back up to the desert. By the time he got here, he's like, I hate this thing. Yeah. I don't want it because, like, it, in reality, it's this gigantic military tool. It doesn't go very fast. It's loud as shit inside mm-hmm. of those things. And it cost him like $600 in fuel just to get from LA to the desert, you yeah. know? And so, but my point is like a lot of these times, you know, when it was a thought process, like everybody's having, this is the best idea ever until that idea came to execution. And then it was like, oh, then the reality starts setting in,
yeah. you know? Yeah, there's like a YouTube channel. I forgot his name. He's a big dude, and he makes.
I know who you're talking about.
Crazy con, like puts Hemi motors, like big Hellcat motors and stuff, and
Whelan's World or something like that.
Yeah, something yeah. like that. And did you see like when he bought Arkansas? That? Yeah, and he went to SoCal somewhere and bought
and
a
he bought
Hummer.
A Hummer, and he tried and he got, to drive it back, and
he
quickly
got stuck
realized
right there in on the 15, like between St. George and Vegas.
Yeah,
and he goes, I mean, for him it doesn't matter. He just makes a phone call, drives home,
right, and it's all content home. For him.
Exactly. So the when it comes to content, yeah, that stuff's fun. But when it comes to like what you're actually going to put, like if you have only a certain amount of money mm-hmm. and that money, you have to make a decision where that money goes because there's not more money behind it to like if this is a mistake, you blow it off and you just go to do this. Mm-hmm. So if that's where your money goes and then that fails.
Yeah. And like, then back oh. to the wife thing. Imagine like you convince your wife, I'm buying this Hummer. It's a you know, and then also referring back to that dude's video is like it was a big thing to get registration because those things are not registered or anything, so he has mm-hmm. to get it like registered and you know like all this other stuff and be able to drive it on the road. And so like imagine you're just a normal dude who doesn't have a million followers or subscribers on YouTube and you're like, I'm gonna buy this Hummer. She's like, I don't know, like no, I'm gonna do it. And then you're stuck on the side of the 15 freeway with blown out yeah. tires, overheating. Yeah. Like these things are not meant to just cruise 75 no. down the road, you
no,
know.
No, I see a lot of the people that complain about like a lot like the EPA fining people at diesel shops for deleting and all this stuff. Uh-huh. And then a lot of the comments lately have been like, well, the government vehicles are all deleted. And it's like, no, the military vehicles are all deleted. The ones that they don't drive every day.
Yeah.
Those are deleted. And
once they put on trains to move them from one coast to the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the ones that they're driving every single day.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, it's those vehicles that the military has and stuff are just very rudimentary.
That's what I mean. They're tools. They're yeah. gigantic tools.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're built for one thing mm-hmm. to go from point A to point B and do it when it needs to be done, not comfortably, not to ride, you know what I mean? That's why when you see the military convoys going from like 29 Palms to down to Oceanside or wherever the base is down there, you know, they're doing 45 miles an hour.
Yeah. And they like, and it's a big thing to move yeah. these things. Like it's not yeah. a small task. Yeah, no, but I get it though. I mean, it looks cool. I almost fell into that with the Tundra because like I saw those things. I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool to, I wanted to do these like military style wheels on it with like they have like a lot of bolts on them and stuff and like oversized wheels. And then when I put it out there, a few people were like, that's not a good idea. And then I was like, well, no, I mean, it's going to be great.
But why not? Why wouldn't it be a good idea?
Well, I don't know. A lot of people said it was a dumb idea.
Yeah, so but who
like,
cares about what those people think?
Yeah, Dower, shut up.
Dower. No, but I mean, that's just a look that you're going after. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good idea, but that means you'd have to spend the money to do it.
Well, Dower's point was, and he made a good point. He's like, that would be cool if it was a giant truck, you know, with giant wheels. Like, if you took, like, a stock Tundra and then threw, like, these military, he's all, it doesn't fit. He's all, go with something else. And I'm all
well, that too. And you said you didn't want to do any suspension mods to it.
Right.
So, like,
so it'd be a stock
Tundra. It would be a stock Tundra, and you would, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So good point. Dower, whatever. Dower.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, that one. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting topic to talk about, especially since you already did that deuce and a half and deuce digolo.
Deuce
digolo.
Deuce digolo.
The guy who owns that truck is he ever hears this, he'd be like, you SOBs.
There's a large rifle mounted inside that truck. He's just going to take it out and shoot me.
Yeah, all right. Just you're just going to hear, you're going to be sitting in your office and you're just like, chug, 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 chug.
That car will not make it to this side of town. It barely made it 100 feet down the road for dude to do rolling shots before the transmission leaking all over the place.
Wow. Dang. I mean, I get it. But yeah, I mean, that's because, yeah.
It's like when people buy art for their house and they spend a bunch of money on this art and you're just like, they're like, look, I spent $10,000 on this. And you're just like,
and you go, but you go, that's cool. And then you move on. Yeah. And that was the point. That's the point that it was like trying to make, like, that's the point that I was trying to make. This is a kind of a very far comparison, but maybe rein it together. You see that deuce deuce and you go, man, that's really cool. I really respect that. That's neat. And then you go on your day, you know, but then you see a truck like, and this is the word, it's a stretch comparison, but then you see the truck like Switch built for Dixon. Like that truck is amazing and it travels the country. Like you'll think about that truck a lot. Like when you start thinking about when someone says, this is the thing, when someone says like, hey man, have you seen any cool like trucks lately? And you go like, oh yeah, I saw this deuce thing. It was pretty cool. But then I saw this like, this Chevy, this truck that was built, and it is like absolutely amazing. I know it's a far stretch. I know that's a big comparison, but anyway.
Yeah. And we're just speaking for ourselves, not any of you guys out there that really like that stuff.
Yeah, so. For sure. And like you said, the whole rod world is pretty interesting anyway.
Yep.
But so one other thing to touch on is we got a couple things because we have some questions too.
We do. Did you see the one? They weren't read when I went onto the drop Instagram a little while ago.
No, I did not read those. I have a couple off of YouTube and YouTube.
Okay, because we have some off of Instagram.
Okay, cool. No, I just wanted to talk about you. You dropped your Cruise of the Pines video today.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. It was really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. It's the music. Like you said, it's the music. When you pick the right music and it's just the right vibe.
Do you want to know how long it took me to find that music?
How long?
5 minutes.
Yeah, just.
Just because I'm not sitting there searching and searching and searching and searching. Yeah. It's just like, oh, that sounds good. I'm just going to use it. Mm-hmm. And it makes the editing experience so much more enjoyable.
I noticed you did not put the clip of me with my cat missing.
No, I took it out.
Yeah, I know. Valid. 100% valid.
Actually, totally get it. Not because of the thing missing, just because I already had a clip of you driving it. Oh, and like, no. Yeah, it was just.
I just thought that was freaking hilarious. It's all like, there's Frank's truck, but no show cap. The wheel. No cap.
Delete.
Goodbye.
I should have blurred it.
Oh my God.
Like,
do you remember
like
that post that I made? Because you had put up a screen grab of it, and then I did something, and then I blurred it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. But but yeah, I gotta get on my crap and start producing some videos because you've already put out your mini ass video, you've already put out your forbidden video, and now you've already put out your
Cruise That's because video. I don't spend I watch baseball in the office.
Yeah.
I sit in front of this computer. You know what I mean? I don't have two kids to take care of. That, you know what I mean? So
a lot
like
of stuff going on.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of stuff going on, but you have to ask yourself this. Mm-hmm. When you don't have stuff going on, that's when you should just meander into the office.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Go on Amazon.com, buy yourself a $100 external monitor.
The monitor.
Watch your bullshit on this monitor, because that's what I do.
Yeah.
And then edit ever so slowly on this monitor.
Yeah.
I only I'll mess with like a couple of clips, and then I turn to this, and because my attention span is just like, mm-hmm. Oh, what's on Instagram now? And then I do a couple more clips. It takes me forever. I could edit a video super fast if I did not go on social media.
Right.
It's really bad.
Yeah. You know? But anyway, I'll get on it. I'll drop something soonish, I suppose. But yeah. But these questions, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with wait, drop us in. We haven't dropped in a long time.
Oh, yeah. We haven't dropped in. Where is it? All right. Ready, yep. And go.
Drop it.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. All right. I was like, what's happening?
Do you have the drop Instagram of it? Because I have my.
Yeah, you're looking at the your your pocket.
I'm looking at the pocket. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Well, we'll get to there in a second. I just want to jump over here to a message that I got, which kind of ties into last week's episode when we were talking about Freaktoberfest coming up. Kay Faring, our friend Kenny, asks, he says, you guys mentioned that camping was a big thing for 3-day run truck runs in the latest podcast. My question is, do you think bringing back camping to multi-day shows would help the scene grow? Would help the scene grow and flourish, or is the thing of days gone by?
I don't know. Okay, so show, yeah, the Forbidden Show. Mm-hmm. You can camp at the Forbidden Show. You can't dry camp. You can RV camp, mm-hmm. but hardly anyone does it. And I think if we were like, hey, you can tent camp, I don't think anyone would do it.
I don't think anybody would do it either.
So, like, if you're going to throw a show at a campground, I don't think it's going to be as successful as mm-hmm. throwing a show where there's a hotel nearby.
So, I think what he means is like, because there's Freaktoberfest exists. That's a yep. traditional 3-day truck show. I'm going to one this weekend. Council runs a traditional 3-day truck show that everybody camps at, whether it be in tents or campers or whatever. Maybe what he's saying is if you took LST and added camping to it, would it be a better experience?
You can camp at LST too.
In a tent?
Nope. Oh. I mean, you can if you wanted to, but they have RV hookups in the parking lot out there. You can actually do it.
Also, Kenny is a little younger than us. I think he's in his early 30s, you know? So as a freshly minted 42-year-old man, I will never sleep in a tent again for as long as I live.
You were holding out for a while.
Oh,
you,
I did.
When you would come, you would get, like, I was in a tent for a long time, and then I mm-hmm. was like, nope, I'm going to get a hotel. Yeah. And then you would still come and still go into it, even up in Oregon. I think a few times.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Up until as recently as 2017-ish.
I think it depends on the show. I don't mm-hmm. know if bringing back camping necessarily would do anything like that. But I think if camping, like Camp and Drag, look at Camp and Drag.
Yeah. Well, look at Freaktoberfest. But also Freaktoberfest offers a host hotel too.
Yeah. So I think you just have to adapt with the times and mm-hmm. realize that if you hold on to the past, if you say like traditional 3-day truck runs, right? There used to be 14 a year in Southern California from both Central California, Arizona, like the Colorado River, like in that general area. You can't sustain that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, if you brought back Endless Summer at Parker, it's not going to be as big as it was back in the day.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. So you as show promoters have to adapt just with anything. You know what I mean? So I think camping is cool. And I think, but I don't know if it's
I think it would be cool as, again, like a novelty thing, like to do it maybe once in a while. Like,
I think I so know. Too. Yeah. I think it's still a thing because mm-hmm. people do like that. Like, well,
like
I
said, there's a truck run going down next month.
Yeah. Like I would love to hop in an RV, drive up to Freaktoberfest and do it that way.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it makes more financial sense for me just to get a hotel. Mm-hmm. If I owned an RV, then yeah, I would love to do that. You know, Travis at Pro Performance he stays in his RV at LST. He's a vendor. So his vendor trailer is a fifth wheel. And I think that's super fun.
That is pretty cool. That is like we always talk about like these like different setups, but a freaking 48-foot gooseneck, which is like half an apartment, half a booth.
Yeah,
like, that'd be sick.
That would be sick. But I mean, I would even love to just go the simple route and just have a small trailer. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest thing is comfort.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And me being the sober Sally that I am now, I don't care about staying up till 3 a.m. and party.
Right.
I don't like stay into the night and then I'm going to go back to my hotel because the sleeping and the waking up early is now more valuable to me than the other stuff. So I think it's like, it's wherever you're at in your stage of like what's important to you.
And I think less, and it's not that it's a bad thing, but I think less and less people are feeling that way too. Because like a couple of years ago when we went out to Last Resort, you know, yeah, there was that party like when the Sunset built that Jurassic Park thing. It was super cool. A lot of
so
fun.
Cool.
But I mean, it didn't go until like 3 or 4 a.m. anymore. No. It was like 11, 12. All right. That was cool. You know, so like you said, you're adapting. Everybody's adapting. And you as a show promoter, we as brand owners are just adapting to our customers, basically, you know, like, and we have to accommodate them.
Yeah. You know? Yep. But I think that there is a place for it. Freaktoberfest, Camp and Drag, like, I think it's almost, I don't want to say a nostalgia thing, but I just think it is definitely a needed thing, you know, but should you base your show around every single show around it? I don't know. I think to diversify it or whatever.
It is cool to have a couple, like, you know, Freaktoberfest flourishes and they do it every year. And even Last Resort's a traditional 3-day run too. Yep. And that has been going on for, what is he on, 30 years now or something? Like a lot of years.
Yeah.
So those things, that's exactly what we're saying. Those things exist. They're available. You know, not all shows have to be like that, but not all shows have to be mini nets or LST.
Yeah. And I think
that's why we say, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I would love to go to Last Resort in a motorhome and stay there.
Yeah.
And wake up and you're at the show and you're just like, you know what I mean? But I also like camping. I don't like to camp. I like to watch other people camp on YouTube.
You like to watch the YouTube videos camping.
And I would like to experience that at a show. And I don't know when that's going to be, but I think it's going to be more when my Tacoma gets done. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to, my neighbor has an RV and he rents it out on like RV Trader.
Like a C-Class that you can tow with?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. So I want to talk to him and be like, hey, how much would you rent this to me so I can go to Camp and Drag? Mm-hmm. Because I can tow the Tacoma out there and I could fit the booth in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I could dumb down the booth and kind of fit it in there. Mm-hmm. And that'd be cool.
It's going to be so interesting when we get to that point when your truck is done, how things, like what you're going to go to, it's going to be cool. It's going to be interesting, cool, unknown. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. And getting creative, like, you know, so yeah. But yeah, I think camping is cool.
Yeah, me too. Let's see. So the drop Instagram is what you're saying? It's like
Mike,
in the general?
Mike Myers. There was Mike Myers.
Stretch. Yeah. Well, let's
go Mike Myers.
Zach just likes all our stuff then. Thanks, Zach. Thanks, Zach. Let's start with Michael Myers. All right. So this is kind of a long one. Bear with me if I mess up some words. Good morning, gentlemen. After watching trucks, and I don't know, this is the first time I'm reading it, so I'm going to read it verbatim, and whatever he says, okay?
Yeah.
Good morning, gentlemen. After watching trucks, food, sports, and stuff, I have given good thought, and I have a question for you two. I'm not sure how many times you've gone to Sparks in the Ozarks, which we have never been, we're going to go, or other similar shows that sometimes seem out of range for the AZ folks. And then he has a sarcastic uppy eye, lies. He says, lies. I don't know what that means. I need you guys to hype me up on these shows. This Ozark show laid out in the park, that show that'll make me cross this country. Oh, I see what you're saying. I gauge my interest in shows across the country based off of your input. So if you guys kind of say it was cool and play it off, I say wondery face emoji. Maybe I can miss that one. But if you guys throw good detail, tell me the lay of the land and how well the show runs, it can make me say I'm going to that next year. Please help Frank and Brian. Please help Frank and Brian. Not help. Well, no, we need help too.
Yeah. Well, we can only speak on the shows that we've been to.
That's what he's saying. He's saying that there are tons of shows. Like he's saying like, are there shows out there that will motivate him enough to leave the state to go to?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, there's mini nats. Like mini nats, like the number one we talk about, but even not mini nats. Like you were just talking about Last Resort.
Yep.
You know, that's a cool show. We've never been to Sparks, but we'll report back to see how that goes. But from
the many
years I've heard about it is good.
Yeah. The first year I went to Last Resort, I was standing there when they were doing the games and I was sending videos to Roulette because Roulette always says, like Roulette being the DJ and the guy that hosted a lot of these staged events and music and stuff, to see that go away, it's gotta be a little bit of a bummer for him, you know? So I was like, look, this is still happening. Like, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blown away by Last Resort. Like, if you, Last Resort, and I'm sure Sparks in the Ozarks, you know, they all bring a different thing to the table, but they're all worth leaving Arizona for.
Yeah, and kind of, okay, Mike, I'm going to say something that is a bit unfair to us. Like, you have to motivate yourself.
Yeah.
Like you can't rely on us to hype up these shows and motivate people to go. Like people have to want to do it. If you want to leave the state to go to a show, then pick one and do it. Even if the show sucks.
We're not going to lie to you and tell you that to go to something that sucks. So,
well, no, for sure. Yeah. We're not going to do that. But my point is like the, not just Mike is who asked the question, but people in general just have to pick something and do it. Even if it's not fun, just to do it. Like you're not going to experience these shows until you decide that like, hey man, I'm going to go do this thing.
Yeah. And don't wait.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because look at LST almost went away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're just like, I'll go next year,
mm-hmm.
try to go this year, even if you can't take your truck, or whatever, just make it happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like bust out that credit card, charge the hotel, charge the gas, and then spend the next year that you were waiting to go to the next, save it to the next year and just pay the credit card off.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not telling you to get into credit card
debt. Yeah, no, what I am saying is, you're telling people to go to credit card debt.
Yeah, but you got to take chances sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's like, what I'm saying. You have to just make a decision to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because that, and then you can say you did it.
Yeah.
You know, you said like, yeah man, I packed up my shit and I went.
Yeah. Cause imagine if you're just like, oh, I don't have enough money for gas in a hotel this time. Mm-hmm. You have enough on the credit card,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have enough cash for it. And you're like, I'll just go next year. And then what something happens at Mini Nats.
And it's gone.
And it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So there. No, I get it. But we'll still go out there. We'll still report back. You know, I think mm-hmm. we do tend to have a little bit of rose colored glasses when it comes to explaining stuff. But, yeah. You know, that's sort of, we don't want to talk bad about anybody or put anybody down. But I think we are pretty like honest when it comes to stuff. So if we come back and we say, hey, man, that was a cool event, you know, then it was a cool event.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then let's jump back over to YouTube. Salsa Glass, I just remember this one, I need to look at it. Salsa Glass was asking about mini truck inspired vans. Like I guess I'll go read it. I'm a podcaster. okay, hold on one second.
We didn't get too prepared because we had just recorded an episode 2 days ago.
It has been. I was a little worried coming into this one how things were going to go, but, you know, just because we had just talked.
Yeah.
All right. So dumping down here. All right. This is it. Salsa. He's from Oregon. Cool dude. And he says, mini truck and vans. Can we dive into those layers? Layers of vans, I guess. I don't know. They still exist. There's a couple dudes building Astros. There was that sick... green one rolling around.
Yeah, vans are rad. I wish more people would do them. I wish, and there is, so here's the thing, there's the mini truck style vans, mm-hmm. which is like your Astro vans and one Ford Aerostar van, you know what I mean? And but Astro vans were really big back in the day, but they just kind of fell off. But the van culture is
that's what I was gonna to bring up. Yeah. Because we've said before, for those who don't know, but the mini truck scene is born out of the van scene from the 70s.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is like the new vans, like the Siennas and stuff.
Yeah, so, oh, you're talking about that kind of culture.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, so, we saw one the other day when we were going to the game. That was sick.
I was about a week away, 2 weeks away from buying a minivan.
Yeah, I know, you're really close.
The problem with shopping for a minivan is they're purpose-built, so they're going to be pretty beat up because you just throw your kids in the back and they just let them do whatever they want. High mileage, and they're just driven by like parents that just want to get to the soccer game, so they're mm-hmm. just pounding on the car. So, but
yeah, I think there's a disconnect because the vans he's talking about are the Aerostars, or not the Aerostars, but the Astro vans stuff. Those, I mean, those are like the deuce and a half. They're just niche things that people build, you know, just because it's quirky nowadays. But that has, because like the vans you're describing, which are the Siennas and the Odysseys and stuff like that, those are more import inspired.
Yeah,
way more import inspired, but they're just as cool. I think they're cool. They're cooler than
Me too. I mean, I think, is it Van Culture? Is that the Instagram page that
with the guy with the black?
No, it's just an Instagram page that's dedicated to that style of van.
Oh, I've not seen it.
Yeah. So, and I absolutely love that Van Culture.
And the other, while you're looking that up, but here's the other kind of thing to doing that. Like, it's not like you're like, okay, you know, I'm not going to get a Tacoma. I'm going to pick up this Sienna and build it and you, because in your mind you're like, oh, it's got to be cheaper. Those things are not cheap. Those Sienna vans are like up in the 40s, pushing 50 for those things.
Yeah, but you can get a used one for a good price.
Yeah, and then like you said, you kind of get the ones that kind of need to be cleaned up and stuff. But
yeah,
no, those things are so sick when they got the right wheels on them. Actually, you know what? Looking at a stock Sienna, they got good lines.
Oh yeah, no, they're good. They're definitely good. They are
good looking vehicles. My thing is, and this is silly, but you know, just me, but I just can't get over the minivan thing, you know?
Yeah.
I know it's silly, but
I think that's where the Astrovan is, because the Astrovan doesn't have that minivan like persona. And right. Astrovan has a truck persona.
Yeah.
Because it's on a frame. It's got a truck motor, it's got truck interior, it's got a truck suspension, you know what I mean? So it's looked at differently, you know what I mean? An Odyssey or a Sienna or a Kia or a, you know, but yeah, van culture. And I think you're right, it is the guy maybe with the black van.
I think so.
No, maybe it's not. I don't know, there's a lot of black vans on here, but it's, yeah, van culture, Kate with a K, all one word.
Okay.
That page has all kinds of different vans from all over the world too, and they're all bagged, like a lot of them are bagged and laid out, and like, I mean, geez, this thing is sick.
Yeah, there's so many cool ones out there.
Yeah.
So Salsa, like, yeah, I understand where you're coming from about the mini truck inspired vans, but go check out those other vans that Brian's talking about. Like,
yeah,
I think it may change your perspective on things too, because it does. Like, you know, we're used to a very certain type of way, like paint and wheels and stuff, but then you start looking at those, and it introduces that whole clean culture, like import style, VIP style. And it just, it starts going off the rails. Like,
they're also super cool. Very utilitarian.
Oh yeah.
So I was going to buy one.
It is a van. It's like, it's a useful thing too.
I was buying one to film out of, because you can film out the back, you can film out the sides, and then buying one, and then you can throw all the merch in there. Like you can, you know what I mean? And they drive good. They're reliable. Whatever.
It makes a lot of sense, actually. For us, it would make a lot of sense.
They make too much sense.
I know.
Yeah, but they're still a minivan. Yeah. And it's hard to like get out of the thing.
Well, because again, you know, it all ties back to this whole conversation we've been having, back to the dude's nap, back to the whole shaved door. Is like, when that dude decided he was going to build that deuce and a half, and when that girl decided she was going to shave her whole door, she just, like, they went down that path. So when you decide you're going to build a van, you're forking down the money for the van, you're going down that path. Like, you have to be committed at that point to go do it, to only get to the other end for someone to say, like, that's a cool van. Oh, but check out this laid out Audi or BMW right here. You know what I mean?
Or Tacoma
or something else. So that's a decision you have to make if you want to commit to that.
Yep.
But anyway, we have a few more, but we don't know where we're going to be in a.
Go to Stretch real quick.
Oh, Stretch. Oh yeah. Stretch has a quite a long one here.
He's basically just asking about teasers for Forbidden, right?
I don't know. Hold on. Again, verbatim. I'm watching the podcast right now, episode 124, and you guys are looking for new questions. Since there has been a post about FFF show 25, how about some sort of sneak peek or insight into artwork? Maybe anything that you might be doing at the event that may be different from previous years, or just something to create some buzz around the FFF show that's coming up. Shameless plug, let's say. Probably once again, you'll be looking for sponsors, you know, just things to talk about. The art thing, like, you're very you're very secretive with the art. Like, there's going to be no teasers, no nothing.
No, there's no teasers, because I actually don't even know any. Brandon was just calling me right now.
That's also part of the thing too, because it could be, you know, February.
it's usually January, because that's when we open up registration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tease nobody. I don't even tease the club. I don't tell the people that are on the artwork. It's just sometimes I'll go into, we have a president's page, and I'll go in there and ask for suggestions, because this year's a little tough.
Oh, it
is. Just like, who in the club
really came out this year?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
There was two, but they both got out of the club. So
I know. they're listening. They're like, damn it.
Damn it.
I couldn't wait 6 more months.
Yeah. Losers.
But I'm going to say something bold about the, because his other question is like, doing things to hype the show. And this is going to sound so self-centered and whatever. We don't really need to hype up anything. Like, it is what it is. Like, we're not going to.
So there we do, though.
Oh, how?
we don't need to hype up the show in the sense of selling the hotel out and getting, you know, 300 vehicles there.
Okay. But that's where I was coming from.
But if you look at the parking lot last year, mm-hmm. we have such an open space now that the parking lot looked a little.
Oh, you're talking about the asphalt portion of the show.
Asphalt. Yeah. Okay. Because if we were just filling the grass up and we were just like, okay, there's 200 vehicles and we maxed out because mm-hmm. that's about what the grass can hold, 220, then yeah, we don't need to do anything, but we don't want to just, like, we want more.
Right.
Right. So now we do have to figure out something to hype up the show, as far as getting that asphalt a little full.
Okay.
So, but it's a different hype. So like, how do we make the asphalt cool
mm-hmm.
for people that if we say, hey, you can't park in the grass, you have to park on the asphalt, and they go, oh yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. Instead of crying about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's our job to like figure that out.
Do you have any ideas or?
No, I have none. vendors, putting vendors out there, which we already do.
Mm-hmm.
Spreading the cars out a little bit to make it so it's not such a parking lot, more of just like a, you have your own like space type.
Yeah,
thing.
Like you have like each space is like a feature, like spot.
Yeah, yeah,
that'd
yeah,
be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of I wish I could figure out like getting McGuire's or someone with a diesel truck out there, like that, to where mm-hmm. it's like you put that in the back and it kind of caps right. the show. So
and kind of makes it more of an inclusive type thing.
Yeah. So I guess that's the insider info is like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, we do. We don't need to hype it up because it's those hotels sold out. We're going to sell out enough registration to make it a good time, but mm-hmm. we got to keep that going. Cause even the best shows,
like I said, it was very self-centered in what I said. So,
I mean, it's true, right? Like a lot of shows, they have to kind of figure out how do I get people there when it's not us that's getting people there. It's the venue that's getting people there. So we are a little spoiled in that mm-hmm. in that sense. But we have to keep that going and not get into the mindset of like, oh, we just do whatever we want.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. I didn't know that. So now maybe I can like think of some stuff or whatever, offer a suggestion here or there.
And anyone out there that's been to our show, that asphalt area, they redid the asphalt.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, what you guys, like, what? Yeah, what did, give us what some would, advice, some feedback. Give us some
because
feedback.
What happens a lot of times is people will just not bring their car because they can't get on the grass.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that. We still want you to bring your vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, not as long as it's not stock and as long as it's just a cool car. Yeah. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you might be on the asphalt. So what could we do to make that asphalt not feel less of the grass?
Right, right. Make it not necessarily equal because the grass is superior, but like what could make it better? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally get it. No, cool suggestion. So Stretch, give us some suggestions, man.
Yeah, and there is another person that's been trying to ask us questions forever. It's Emmett Johnson.
All right.
He has a question. He says, my fourth one to be precise. The other three have not gotten responses.
It's not you, it's us.
It is. Yeah. There are some that fall through the cracks because we'll go through guest episodes and I just forget to do this. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So his question would be, he'd like to know each of your personal opinions on different rear suspension setups. Your favorite for ride looks, ones you dislike, etc. Two link with crossbar, four link with panhard bar, triangulated four link cantilever, six link. That's a question that I don't know.
I was going to say, like, I don't know the difference of any of them, man. Like, you asked me which one rides better. Oh.
I can tell you that a two-link setup works, but it's not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's necessary, depending on what you know what I mean? Say you have a Tahoe or a 4Runner,
uh-huh.
and you want to keep certain things the way it is. You might sacrifice something for to make it look cool
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But I only know what I've read and what I've seen smarter people than me say.
Right. Same.
And the best option is a triangulated four link.
Mm-hmm. That's like the most reliable thing that's going to work.
Cause the four bar with a panhard, you're panhard.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get movement side to side. You can do a Watts link with the four bar. That's good. Cause a lot of the chassis companies do that. I'm looking at one right now mm-hmm. on this book.
A lot of the
the GSI
is that a
chassis?
GSI chassis, yeah.
Yeah. So like the GSI chassis use a Watts link and a four mm-hmm. bar, and then the Rev-B chassis don't. They use a triangulated four link. So I couldn't tell you the benefits of any of them. I think it's all based on what you're building.
I've had most of those. I've had a four link with a panhard bar, and that's the problems I always ran into as the rear end shifting around. I've had a reverse four link. No. What isn't a reverse four link? It was more like a two link with like a wishbone kind of thing on a Mazda. That worked pretty good. I never really had any problems with that one. The 4Runner is currently a triangulated four link, where it's two straight bars and then the top bars come in. And that one I've driven the most and put the most miles on. I've never had a problem with anything on that.
You on that one though, you sacrificed back seat.
Yeah, cause my back, like you sit in the back of Joey's, because Joey's 4Runner is...
Joey's is triangulated, but his is short. So here's the thing. A lot of people don't think you can run really short bars. You like they all have to be equal length. They don't. So you can get really short bars and make it work.
Then that's but how his truck is.
That's how his truck is. So, but like, what was I going to say? Oh yeah. So those, the, what you were saying, like the reverse, like wishbone where you're like two bars forward and a wishbone backwards.
Yeah.
From what I've seen and what I've heard, and I've seen two different trucks this happen to, both Tacomas, you could ruin the transmission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the Mazda that I had was a 5-speed, so... You know, that was different. But yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I know a couple of people who have had, who are just battling that right now, you know, getting transmissions and stuff with the autos in them. Yeah. But yeah, no, mine has worked really good. My personal, like, as far as, because I think this was part of his question too, as far as like looks and stuff. Although again, same thing as the rest of the conversation we're having. Although I like them, I respect them. I'm not into exotic suspensions.
Overly complicated ones.
To where like it just, I get it. You want to be different. You want to make something showy. Like if it's a, like, you know, full show truck, you know, like that's one aspect of it. But me personally, I don't put them any higher than any other kind of suspension is what I'm trying to say. Like to me, a suspension is a suspension. The purpose of it is to make it go up and down and ride really, really nice. What makes the truck is everything, is like the paint, the wheels, the interior, as well as a suspension. Because I think what happens sometimes is some people get so focused on those exotic suspensions that they rely on that as the personality for the whole truck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm the same way. I used to like even my Tacoma is a little much for that. You know what I mean? Like I would really like to simplify it down, but the there's a reason why it's the way it is. Mm-hmm. But I just like super simple and not too showy. But hey, each to their own.
There are some people who are building Georgia. Her truck has a very intricate suspension, but then again, her entire truck is very complicated. But it's very showy. You know what I mean? So that fits. But like I said, it's when people get focused so much on the exotic suspension and rely on that to be the key
the only focus point of the truck.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's my thoughts on that.
Do you have any YouTube channels to shout out? Because I have one.
I do. I do, actually. I'm laughing because it's my off the rails ones. Because I want to talk. I've been trying to talk to you about this for a couple weeks. So I want to do a little bit longer conversation on this. The Car Care Nut, his video on turbos. It's so fascinating. I learned so much about him, but I want to have a longer conversation about that.
Oh,
so
we'll speaking of that. The car, speaking of that guy, he has two channels.
Oh, he does?
Remember I told you he reviewed a Maverick?
Yeah, and I was like, there's no Maverick. What are you talking about?
So he's got the Car Care Nut Reviews channel.
Oh, okay.
And he reviews all these other cars.
All right. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. No, the one that I'm subscribed to is just his regular mechanical channel.
Yeah. And you do. And he explains things so well.
And that's what I want to talk about. So we'll talk about that next time. But I'm going to go off the rails with, and it's not even a small channel. It's huge. It's called Eddie Burback. He has a couple million followers. He doesn't even have a theme to his videos. He picks a subject. We brought it up once before where he visited every single Rainforest Cafe
in America. I love that channel.
And he recently did one on AI.
I didn't watch that one yet.
It's really good. It's all really good. It's interesting. It keeps you engaged. You learn a little bit, and it's a lot of fun. So if you wanted to,
he's done one on going to every Rainforest Cafe, every Margaritaville, and the one on the Sphere in Vegas, was amazing. So I keep meaning to watch that AI one.
Yeah, the AI one is really great because, like I said, it's a lot of fun. But then you learn some stuff about exactly, you know, how this is working in our society currently. And he's just a really fun guy. So, that's my
Mine is called Dropworks. It's a automotive channel. I'm going to send you three pictures on your messenger of the things that this guy, so they're in the UK. And they build, they build rad stuff and they have rad merch and they just, they tell like,
that first one also, again, what we talk about. So the first one you sent me here is
a Land Rover.
Oh, that's a Land Rover.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
And it's sick. And then they don't have a lot of mini trucks there, but they did a mini truck.
That's so cool. See, and why is that? Why do I have such a different reaction? I see the Deuce Deuce and I go, oh, that's cool. But then I see that Land Rover and I'm like, oh,
because that my thing's, I think it's because it's like, it's tucking wheel and it looks more like a traditional vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think because you look at that and you go, oh, I could drive that every day.
That's,
you look at that Deuce thing and you're just like, where am I going to put this?
Exactly. That thing is super sick. What's it called?
Dropworks.
All right. Yeah, I'm definitely
going to start checking. Their IG is Dropworks Customs.
Cool.
1P. We're spelled all together, normal, like you're supposed to spell things. Yeah, Dropworks.
Nice.
So check them out. Cool. They're really cool.
Right on. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's that. You're going to Green Day tomorrow. Jealous.
Going to see Green Day, Rancid.
So jealous.
Smashing Pumpkins and the Linda Lindas. So it goes Linda Lindas, Rancid, Smashing Pumpkins, Green Day, and I don't think Chelsea's ready for this because
I don't know, man.
Well, they're not ready for anything except for the fact that the it's going to be long. So they're, I think Green Day alone's 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Or it could be, I don't know. They're doing, they do both two albums back to back, the entire, the whole, both albums.
That they do Dookie and what's it?
American Idiot.
American Idiot. Yeah.
Is that the album? I don't know. I said, I'm a Green Day fan. I just don't follow them.
What's cool? Obviously, Green Day was my introduction to punk rock music. Dookie was the very, well, actually, no. My introduction to punk rock was actually the NoFX album. It's two white guys, a Heeb and a Bean. I think that's what the album's called.
Yeah.
I don't know. Great. That was my first introduction to punk rock. But my one that I fell in love with punk rock was Green Day's Dookie album. So that's cool. But Rancid.
Yeah.
Like I have a funny Rancid story. So back in the early 2000s when we were going to Warp Tours and stuff like that, we went to one that was down at the convention center and they had Rancid playing. I was so excited. I've loved Rancid for a long time. And they start playing. Well, we're far back. So there's something going on in the pit and there's like these two guys, like, or a few people, guys, I say people, like messing around. And so they're playing. And then Lars Fredriksson, who's part of Rancid, is like, hey, he stops the song, says, hey, quit it. Like, you guys stop messing around. Leave them alone or else we're going to stop playing. And I'm thinking like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, they're not going to stop playing. But why would they? So they start playing again and they do it again. They shut it down. They walked off the stage. And
you said Warp Tour?
Warp Tour.
So something similar happened to me at Warp Tour.
Uh-huh.
But it was with Eminem.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm at Warped Tour, San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
And it was two stages. So you would go back and forth, alternate between the stages. So we saw Pennywise. Pennywise is over. Oh, nice. We scoot over. Eminem's coming on, right? I mean, this is 1996, seven. Eminem just came out.
Yeah.
So he comes out. He does like one thing. And people... it's a punk rock show. People are like throwing stuff around. And so like a water bottle hit him.
Oh, and he just,
and he was like, hey, da, da, and he said something, turned around, walked off. Everyone's like, well, I guess that's over with.
Yeah. When Rancid did that, but the cool experience was when they were trying to like calm the crowd down. There's this, I forget the name of the song, but it goes Little Timmy was a punk rocker. Anyway, it's like this really slow ballady type song. So they played that. So that was cool.
Trying to like lullaby people back into being
like
calm.
Calm them down.
Yeah.
Also, the rowdiest pit I ever been in was a NoFX pit at Warped Tour. That was the rowdiest pit I've ever been in. But
I have a feeling that this show is going to be less rowdy than those back in the day.
Probably. Everybody's a little more chill.
It was like Blink when we went and saw Blink 182 and you're looking around. You're like, man, these people are really old here.
Happening?
This is really weird.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So, and then you're off from that. You're off to Waxahachie. So,
I didn't plan this very well because it's going to the concert and then that coming home and then leaving at 3 a.m.
Oh, you're gonna bomb out there, huh?
Yeah. So so the concert's Wednesday night. We're leaving Thursday morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're going to be on your feet the whole time.
And it's going to be 100 degrees in Texas. 97 degrees on Saturday.
And humid. It's the Dallas area, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hot. Good luck. Sun, the sun. They have a different sun out there.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's a stupid one.
Disrespectful.
Disrespect. It's very disrespectful.
Well, cool, man. Well, have fun. Good luck. We'll report back next week.
Yes.
And see how all the things went.
Yes.
But livelifecustom.com, grinder-tv.com. We're giving away a welder. Yeah. Thanks to Sean Rose and Eastwood.
And I've got a bunch of tall sizes. I've got hoodies that I'm blowing out. I need to get rid of some stuff. So go on there.
Do it. Buy. Buy some
stuff. I even have some 5X shirts that I've got two Ranger 5X shirts that just sit in my bin.
No one's got those yet, huh?
No, none of the big dudes haven't. They're not into the Rangers,
which is a little, I'm going to, hey, you big guys. Can I speak to you guys specifically? You're always asking us, what's the biggest size you have? And 4X. Oh, man, if it was a 5, they're there.
They're there.
Where are you guys?
Hit me up.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye.